JG3 Number 7A
So we can see then that when we are working with our consciousness or presenting science with others, we always want to state what we do in a sentence. And it always reminds me, of course, of Max's booklet, Truth and Scientific Truth, that a truth is only a scientific truth when seen within its proper structure, and that meaning is relational, that we could define the one on the level of science itself, or divine science, as you said, that one becomes oneness, or absolute Christian science, it's a calculus of ideas that are in an interrelationship of oneness, or on the Christian science level, it's being made one. You could take that word and it could have a dimensional meaning. So a truth is only a scientific truth when seen within its context. And Karl Popper was hot on that. Like he would say, we would say it would rain. And then he says, but that we aren't giving enough information content. It's going to rain where? Well, it's going to rain in Syracuse. Well, it's going to rain in Syracuse when? It's going to rain in Syracuse tomorrow. Oh, good. Well, then I'll have, you know, my umbrella ready tomorrow. Do you see? We need more information content to help us, though the truth is a truth. Then once we give more information context within the structure, it becomes a scientific truth. Being made one. And that's the impact. Whole, huh? All right, that's good. Then the pedal note of, so we have now defined quite nicely the infinite one. And what else was the pedal note on the level of science itself? I am? Okay, that's good. And that I is a lowercase I or a capital I? Capital I because of? Again, we let the standpoint determine what we say, so that's not an I, but because it's a science itself letter, we're dealing with Ellen, the one being, which is God, and so that's a capital I, isn't it? It's a one being, which is God, and that is am, and am is therefore a capital A-M, because that one being is a law to itself, or that one being is being itself, isn't it? So the one, the I am. Am is a substantive verb of to be, and so that one I is amming, huh? Itself. So the capital A-M is important because as one goes down, so to speak, the levels, there are times when we say, well, that I am is the I am of all. And that capital I, capital A-M, becomes a capital I, lowercase m of all. All right, so that I am is that I am. That's that definition that God presented to Moses. Well, we can see that was the highest explanation of itself that came out in the soul tone during at Moses, where God identified what it was on from its highest standpoint. I am God as a law to myself. I am that I am. Okay, so then we know that this is the realm of the infinite being, or the realm of science itself. So as we work with this level, we do the same thing. Every question we ask ourselves when we're studying, and we take the Socratic method at home when we study, we just don't read it and then memorize it or accept it. We have to always question why. And I know we know that Max Kapler, he's told us many times that he felt that the reason why he could get along himself in his evolution with the subject is that he was glad he always lived in Switzerland and Dorley was in England, because after he would go to Dorley's class, he would go home to Switzerland and take, for example, Dorley was giving a talk on Genesis in English. He would go home and translate what Dorley had said from English into German. And that he always had to ask himself, well, why did John Dorley say this? And say it according to the categories. And always have to question himself, well, let's see, he's going out from Genesis. He's going out, you know, from that first impulse of that day of mind, overcoming mortal mind, that first 1,000-year period, you see. And he had to always keep the tonality of the roof categories behind his interpretation. Asking, why does Dorley say this is of mind? Why is it spirit? Why is it soul? Why is it principle? Why is it life, truth, and love? Without just making an exact translation. He said it was that questioning that cultured the scientist in him, in the categories in him. Well, we now have his Bible books on Genesis, Exodus, Joshua and Judges, First and Second Samuel. He did quite a translation from the Dorley books. That was quite an exercise of constantly why. So he gave us the method that he used in order to polish the categories within his consciousness. And we know then when we worked and still do work with Max, he still polishes categories, doesn't he? Especially with that law matrix. Taking law through the textbook, he could define law from the standpoint of the textbook as the phenomenon of the overall category of the 6,000-year period of truth, and therefore law from the standpoint of absolute Christian science, impact on Christian science, and at prayer we get a certain definition of law. And then The word at the Christ from Atonement Eucharist, we get another tonality of law, but it has a tonality, therefore, of truth, of absolute Christian science, impact on Christian science with the tonality of the word as a Christ. A lot goes into that definition. It's all tonality. Nothing, just anything can't be said, can it? It's so exact. So this is why we like that. We study the exact letter and then imbibe the spirit. So once we appreciate, and I know we do, it's just loving what we all appreciate together. I'm just voicing what we know and what we appreciate. The ability to think in categories, it's the only way we know the subject will survive. Otherwise, it will just be lost with the pioneers. And any subject that isn't taught as a science is lost with the pioneers. So we don't want that to happen, and our job and responsibility is to culture as a scientist, and we're doing it now. All right, so we have then the factor of the law. So if the law is, where would we find these factors of the law? What would we say goes into making up this law? Factors are elements of the law. Therefore, what are the elements that we are dealing with here on the level of science itself, would we say? All right, that's fine. All right, a factor is, there's always something to do with relationship, all right? What would be, then let's take that point. What would be the relationship on this level? Law has to do with relationships. Good. And relationships are, in order to make a law, what kind of relationship is that law? Does that relationship always change if it's a law? All right. It's invariable, isn't it? Because the law, by the definition of the law, is that it's a relationship that is invariable. All right, so we have the relationship. What would be the relationship in the statement, I am that I am? Yeah, okay. And it's represented at that point by the that, isn't it? So it's I am is related to the I am, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so the law consists of one factor is the I am, one element is the I am. In its relationship, the second factor to the universe at this point? No, to I am, to itself. So the law, the factors are the I am, one factor. The second factor is its relationship. And the other one to what? To itself. So we see, therefore, that Mrs. Eddy shows when she gives us the definition that we've seen. She says, well, then, that God is a law to himself. We see that's on the level of science itself, a statement that she gave us. So the factor is God. That's one factor, isn't it? All right, one. Is a law to, that's a relationship, to, second factor, to himself or itself. So God is a law to God. Now, how did she define God in its big way, in its biggest category? Capital? Okay, well, yes, that's all right. So capital being is a law to capital being, isn't it? Because we can change God and God. All right, that's good, Dave. How else can we say the same thing in big terms? Can we say the synonyms on this level? Okay, that's okay. Let's see, Ellen, would we, in its big comprehensive tone first, would we say mind is a law to mind? We can in this law, but I ask for the next standpoint to ask for the bigger statement than the synonyms, principle. Okay, because principle includes them all on this level, we saw, didn't we? So just the next big statement, though that's right what you say, it certainly is an implication or application of the law. But in the next biggest point is principle, infinite principle, because principle includes the seven, doesn't it? Do we see? All right, so the next big statement, we after saying God is a law to God, or capital being is a law to capital being, we could say principle is a law to capital principle, couldn't we? All right, that, therefore, is the law from its highest standpoint. So that's why we have in the study aid then the law stated, and now we've thought it out. According to the tonality of the levels, the law then, a law has to have an invariable relationship, and therefore that God, which is a law to God, on this level we could say, what is the state of that law? What is happening when that God is a law to God? Can we give more information? Is God being its own infinite God, isn't it? That law is being its own infinite law. Is it being anything else but its own infinite law? It's not like on the divine science level operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself, is it? We have to, that relationship is in the tonality of the science itself level. And the relationship and the tonality of the science itself level is its own infinite. Isness, but it's infinite. We have to qualify that isness. Infinite isness. All right? So we can see that, therefore, when we say that God is a law to God, when we ask more about the nature of that law, we'd say, oh, well, its relationship is its own infinite. It doesn't go outside of the indivisible whole on the level of science itself, does it? No. Can we hear? Okay. And therefore, we say, therefore, being, factor one, is its own infinite being. Or God is its own infinite God. Or principle is its own infinite principle. Now, when we come down to the application of the law, this, as Ellen wanted to say so rightly, she knows in Christian Science that principle, God, is defined on page 465 as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But already that is a concession to explaining the law from the standpoint of divine science. To be pure to the law, its principle being its own infinite principle. But because when we exercise, it's hard to maintain to the human what it means that principle is its own infinite principle, we already on that level have to make a concession to ourselves, because we can't maintain the understanding always in an exercise of what does it mean that principle is its own infinite principle. So the application is already an application to divine science. Divine science talks about the I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, I love. But we know all gathered together that makes the I am principle God. So yes, we can further apply that law as mind being its own infinite mind, or spirit being its own infinite spirit, or soul being its own infinite soul, or principle being its own infinite principle, or life being its own infinite life, or truth being its own infinite truth, or love being its own infinite love, in order to get a hold of what it means that principle is its own infinite principle. And therefore, when mind is being its own infinite mind, it because that's a law of self-reflection, how does mind self-reflect itself? Mind is being its own infinite mind. Therefore, mind is being, what's another way of, if mind is being its own infinite mind and it reflects itself a little bit, what happens? No. That's dropping down to the absolute Christian science level. If we stay in the gestalt, we're on. This is where the exercising of the eight ordered steps to oneness with being is very important, because we see on the level of on those earlier levels, we identify with the ideas of the synonymous terms. Those ideas begin to interrelate to build up the tonality of mind. And when the ideas, for example, of mind interrelate, they give off a tick, 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 or a tone called mind. Then we identify with the tone mind. And once we identify with the tone mind, it becomes a structure of our consciousness. And once it becomes a structure of our consciousness, it becomes our very own being. So finally, on the divine science level, we say, I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love. And by mind, we mean mind that includes all its ideas, spirit that includes all its ideas, soul that includes all its ideas, principle, life, truth, and love that include all their ideas. On the highest levels, it's a gestalt of mind, where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's a gestalt of spirit. It's a gestalt of soul. It's a gestalt of principle, life, truth, and love. Those terms cannot be divided on the level of science itself. It's an indivisible whole. They cannot be divided into their ideas and maintain the integrity of the level. We should be able, at this state of consciousness, not to need to talk in ideas. Do you see? Is that true? So one sees that how much work we need to be a scientist, to be able to get a hold of these laws in their pure awareness, as pure consciousness. When Mrs. Eddy said that science and consciousness is at work according to the law of mind, which must assert its absolute supremacy. And if our goal is to go through science and past science into being itself, and that this subject becomes a subject of consciousness and not the exact letter that we receive passively, or we go to listen to somebody tell us the story of God. It's nice to go turn on a videotape and listen to the story of God. Listen to the story of the levels that somebody else wants to tell them, huh? It doesn't do anything, does it? So we see that we want to not listen to the story of God. We want to actively participate in that story. So that story is our story. We're the story in operation. We are the city. We are those laws in operation. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen those laws in operation. Those laws constitute the structure of my consciousness. I'm tired of hearing these stories. I want to see it's my consciousness. And not a practitioner's consciousness. I don't want to put my life into the hands of somebody else and says, now you're responsible for my life and my healing, and that I get this healing or that healing. And who makes us say that somebody else is responsible for our life? That's old Christian science. That's old theology. That's spiritualism. When we go to somebody else and say, now you heal me, Is that not spiritualism? Why is somebody else responsible for our life? I never could understand. I only went to a practitioner when I was a small child because my parents made me do it out of fear. After I came into Max's Word, I never, ever, ever went to a practitioner. I did it myself. I'm willing to help others, but I never went to anyone else. So the thing is that one realizes that we're responsible for our own life. And our Jesus says, work out your own salvation. Occupy till I come. We've just touched the hem of Christ's garment. And we, with this subject, should really be very far along, shouldn't we? So, therefore, it's because we want to get out of the letter and into the spirit. And I had a discussion with some of the students last evening. I think it is the influx of the spirit first that comes upon us through revelation that makes us want to seek the exact letter. It's that spiritual sense, that mother sense within us that wants us to seek the letter. But there comes a time when it's only the wisdom within us. That's what the third degree says. To know right from wrong. When the one mind comes to us as an intelligent mind, it impacts us as the wisdom to know right from wrong, the purity to focus only on the right, the scientific understanding of soul, to focus on what is right, which gives us the spiritual power. The wisdom and purity and spiritual understanding within us brings us the spiritual power. To what? Love that principle so much that we're willing to give up our belief and faith for spiritual understanding, and that heals. See, we see that healing is in the order of the third degree, wisdom, purity, spiritual scientific understanding, spiritual power, love, health, six, whole consciousness. And seven comes holiness in the realm of love, huh? Sixth. In an orderly process, and Jesus went the way of that way. The parent, he went through the mind is my parent mind. I have no other mind. That is his wisdom. He went through the baptism of spirit, the purification process. We know in Matthew, he went through the spiritual understanding of soul in order to could resist the temptations of soul through his scientific understanding. At principle, he taught principles, teachings with the spiritual power of principle, and that demonstrated his love so much for the principle he could heal as man as a calculus of ideas, that went on, his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension went on to prove that that goes on in the realm of holiness. But he showed us through his healings what he could do, and then said, greater works than these ye shall do. You see, we're to do it. I'm just saying this for love of myself about the things, not in anything. We all know this, but we're just loving together. And so this is why that concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building is so important along these categories, so that it becomes the tonality of our consciousness. So we first concept build, we struggle with why these things appear where they think in the categories. Once we struggle with the exact letter there, then it becomes, then we get, yes, that's right, that's in the tonality of the science level. That's okay. I can say, therefore, that the tonality of the law, and I'm sticking to the level law when I say that principle is being its own infinite principle. I hear the tonality of the science level law. I, through the tonality, because I can't quite grasp in consciousness and tonality, I can't hold it when I practice that. To me, when I just say principle is being its own infinite principle, that's abstract glory. So I need the application of down to divine science, and where I saw it was I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love. So I'm going down there to help me out a little bit. And so I can say, well, therefore, mind is being its own infinite mind. Spirit is being its own infinite spirit. Soul is being its own infinite soul. Principle is being its own infinite principle. Life is being its own infinite life. Truth is being its own infinite truth. Love is being its own infinite love. Then I ask, what is happening when mind is being its own infinite mind? Is that static? with a law of infinite self-reflection? That's the next question we ask ourselves. We say, oh, the law is infinite being. The law is infinite self-reflection. Is that a static? Is its own infinite? We ask ourselves. It says there it's self-reflection. What happens when the self reflects? Is it the same thing repeated over and over and over and over again? No. What happens in reflection within the system? It restructures itself. So when mind restructures itself, what happens? How does it restructure itself in the language of spirit? What does it reflect when it reflects itself? Okay, and therefore it always reflects. It reflects. A synonym always refers to God and to itself. So therefore, it reflects God, doesn't it? Therefore, the synonym is always principle, as mind is always reflecting that back to the principle, isn't it? Mind is that principle. So principle, mind is always reflecting the principle. What is the principle? Mind is its own infinite mind. Mind within its holistic, structural, dimensional self is its own infinite spirit. Mind is its own infinite soul. Mind is its own infinite principle. Mind is its own infinite life. Mind is its own infinite truth. Mind is its own infinite love. Within mind itself, it is its whole principle, isn't it? It's a law to itself. It's a principle to itself. What does it mean when mind is being its own infinite principle to itself? Which is what's happening there. Instead of principle, we said principle is its own infinite principle. Now we say mind is its own infinite principle to itself. When mind is its own infinite principle to itself, then mind is its own infinite mind. Or mind is its own infinite spirit, because that's what principle is, isn't it? God. Mind is its own infinite soul. Mind is its own infinite principle. Mind is its own infinite life. Mind is its own infinite truth. Mind is its own infinite love. And that would be the same when we say, well, we're going to change instead of a principle being its own infinite principle. Now, another attribute of principle is spirit, I spirit. Therefore, spirit is its own infinite principle. What does it mean when spirit is its own infinite principle, we ask ourselves? Well, then spirit is its own infinite mind. And spirit is its own infinite spirit. And spirit is its own infinite soul. And spirit is its own infinite principle. And spirit is its own infinite life. And spirit is its own infinite truth. And spirit is its own infinite love. That's that self-reflection going on within being. It's system intrinsic, and it makes sense then, doesn't it, as a law? Okay, well, that's the beauty of thinking in categories. Mm-hmm.